For refugees and asylum seekers who have recently arrived in Australia, it can be difficult to make connections and navigate different aspects of Australian life and culture. Baptist Care SA's Friendship Program has been running since 2006 and links refugees and asylum seekers with an Australian volunteer mentor. Since its beginning, the program has matched more than 600 locals with people from refugee backgrounds. Brian Hughes is coordinator of volunteer programs at Baptist Care SA. Small Changes' Lisa Burns caught up with him to find out more.
People from all walks of life come into this program. So we have people that are Christian, non-Christian, other faiths. We have singles, couples, families, retired people. Our age range is from about 18 to 80. I think that's one of the wonderful things about it as well. It's just that whole mixing of people, getting them together. But then you add to that the people that they're matched with, asylum seekers, people that have arrived on refugee visas. You know, I've lived overseas myself and I know what a huge difference it makes to have someone who's a local to just give you a bit of a heads up and to be a welcoming person and to help you out. So that's one of the things that I really love about this job, is helping other people to do that. And yeah, I love other cultures, and this is a great way to be able to learn more about someone, but not just on the surface, to understand a bit more about how they tick and what their experiences have been. So it's a great opportunity.
And it's, you know, interesting, your background coming from architecture and moving into human services, working with people. What drew you to this kind of work?
Well, initially, part of it is through my Christian faith that I really saw that God calls us to love people, and particularly with a preference to people that are on the margins, the poor, the foreigner, the widow, all those sorts of things. So I ended up doing some volunteer work with Habitat for Humanity, which builds houses with low-income families throughout the world, and then ended up spending 3 years based in Bolivia and then a couple of years based in Costa Rica in Central America doing that. And then more recently, my wife and I went to Cambodia and we worked in the slums there in Cambodia. So when I came back to Adelaide, I was really keen to keep working with people.
In terms of the program itself, what's the vision for the program when it brings these people together? What are you hoping to develop?
Yeah, so what we're hoping that we'll develop is friendships, genuine friendships between people. So people get matched up for 6 hours per month for at least 6 months. But after that, they continue or have the capacity to continue on as friends. And so we're really trying to make sure that it's more than just teaching them English or teaching them skills to live in Australia, but it's like a genuine exchange. And for every person that's matched up, they then talk about this experience with their friends and family. And so there's this ripple effect whereby people that maybe don't understand much about refugees or asylum seekers, or have just bought into the whole asylum seekers are all just here to get our jobs, or that they're not really genuine refugees. Or the other one is, you know, about Muslims and terrorism and so on. So that they can break down a lot of stereotypes, I think, there. And our big vision is that this contributes to building a more cohesive society where we celebrate the diversity amongst us, and that we can really see that as something that enriches us, that isn't a threat. You know, Australia's been, is such a great multicultural country, but it still seems like that every new wave of migrants still faces a hard time being accepted. So it's about trying to shortcut that a little bit and saying, hey, these are great people and let's learn from each other and let's build on that and help them in the same way that if we happen to have been refugees having to flee our country for well-founded fears of persecution, that we too would love someone to be able to help us at the other end. So it's just really trying to get people to empathise and to understand a bit more about it, but then to do some action. And that action is something fairly simple. You know, it's coming along to a couple of training sessions and then it's catching up with someone for coffee or taking them to your local Bunnings store or going to the beach or whatever it is that you might like to do with them.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about the kinds of activities that people do together. Is it just purely the kind of the touristy things, or can it also be some life, you know, helping with life stuff as well?
It's both. And it depends a little bit on who you end up being matched up with. A lot of them are interested in learning English. But I know from my own experiences of learning Khmer in Cambodia is that there's only so much you can learn in the classroom. You actually have to get out and practice it. So we're not expecting people to be trained ESL teachers, but we find that just having that opportunity for them to practice conversational English is a really great thing. So that's one thing that people do. But that's more in a sort of an incidental thing as you're going along. Some people will just come and, you know, have cups of tea together and just chat, and maybe they'll bring photos of their family, or that they'll get out a map of Afghanistan or other places and hear a bit more about where their friend is from. Other people do take them to the beach. We've had some, you know, lovely stories about when one of the volunteers took their mentee or their refugee friend down to the beach and they realised that was the first time they'd ever seen the beach. So just experiences like that, taking them to the central market, helping them get more connected to services. Sometimes they'll do things like help them try and understand a letter from Centrelink, which is probably, you know, even if in English, sometimes that's quite a difficult thing to do. So, yeah, there's lots of different things. But I think one of the greatest things is always just inviting people back to their own house for a meal, because people say that you never really feel like you belong until you've been into a house of a local person, you know, someone that's not outside of your own ethnic group. And so just inviting people back for a meal is such a simple thing but very profound.
I'd agree with that. You know, rather than people just going out and trying to build these friendships, you know, at various community services, and they'll come home and then be within their own family speaking their own language, but there might be a little bit of a disconnect and that feeling of, oh, am I really part of a community yet? I'm not sure I feel entirely welcome in this space yet.
Yeah, that's right. So I think people do really love that sense of knowing someone and getting to know them well. And if you're always going to a new event, you're always meeting new people, and that can be very difficult for some people to do. But if you've got one person on a more regular basis, you sort of break through that shyness, and so then your English level gets better because you're not feeling embarrassed and so on. I think that is a really great way for people to feel welcome.
And for the people who do sign up as mentors, as friends, as volunteers, who is attracted to doing this kind of work? Who are the people who come through your doors?
Yeah, as I said, we just get such a wide variety of people, which is wonderful. You've got people that may have been migrants themselves and that they understand that experience of what it's like to come to a new country and how difficult that can be. You get students that are perhaps interested in developing their cross-cultural skills. You get people that are just really passionate about refugee issues and have done work in advocacy and so on, but really want to have a bit more of a tangible impact. And they get to meet someone and they talk to someone directly. So, as I said before, we have people from a wide range of ages and backgrounds and beliefs as well.
Yeah. How long do these friendships last, or how long can they last?
The initial period is for 6 months, but then after that, people have a choice to keep going as they would like to. So we've had people already that have been matched up for 5, 6, 7 years. So some of them have sort of really rich relationships where they, you know, they've seen the children grow up and maybe go to university or do different things. We've had some people that have helped their mentee or their refugee friend to be able to get work experience, and as a result of that work experience, and then they've got work, and then they've just been able to see how that's really helped them flourish as well. So for the people that are involved, the participants from refugee background, it can be really a great thing to have a local friend, because it's quite difficult to get work at the best of times. But if you don't have any local experience and no local referees, then it's nearly impossible. So we also try and help them have volunteering experiences that they can do. But having a person that can vouch for them either for housing or for employment is also a really great benefit.
What kind of feedback have you received from people who have come as new migrants, and what have these friendships meant to them?
Yeah, for a lot of them, they've said that this is their first Australian friend and that they've just really loved that possibility. I think one of the things is that it's kind of a bridge for them into getting to know other people. So we say to all of our volunteers, don't try and be the super volunteer that does everything for this person. Try and do it so that you empower them to get connected with other people, so that, you know, in 6 months, if you end up moving to Melbourne or decide you want to do bungee jumping instead of, you know, this volunteering, that they're actually in a better place after 6 months. They're not just reliant on you. Other feedback that we've got from people is that they've really really missing their family. So some of them, it might be that the father's here, but his wife and children are still in Pakistan, for example. So just to be around children or family for him has been really healing in that sort of a case. For some people, it's just been just having someone that they can talk to, because they might not feel so comfortable talking with people from their own cultural group about some of the issues that are going on in their life, but this is a pretty safe space for them, and so that they're just able to talk about some of the things that they've been through. And I think that's a really wonderful thing too.
And for you, Brian, what does it mean to be a part of this and to help facilitate this kind of interaction between people?
Firstly, I get to work with, you know, 60 to 80 wonderful volunteers per year, and I just love volunteers, because volunteers are people that, you know, still believe that the world can be a better place, still have that sort of, you know, dream that we can make the world a better place bit by bit. And so it's really great to be around people like that, that are really positive and wanting to make a difference. And then for me, working with people from refugee background as well, it's just such a real privilege as well, because these are such amazing people. Just to get to Australia means that they've just got to have such courage and resilience and so on. And some of the people that you look at, you sort of think, oh man, if I was in your situation, I think I just would have, you know, shriveled up in a corner a long time ago. And yet they're there and they've got a smile on their face and they're trying to do the best that they can for their children and so on. So it's really just a wonderful thing. And I just love learning about different cultures and different ways that people think, because then I think that we can reflect on our own culture and think about, well, what's good in ours and what maybe could we sort of borrow from other cultures and learn from them. So just having that opportunity to meet all these people is wonderful.
You've got some training sessions coming up. Can you tell me about those?
Yes, we do. So we've got two training sessions coming up on October the 29th. It's a Monday night, and November the 5th. So both sessions are a required training for volunteers. They're from 6 till 8:30 p.m. These ones coming up will be held at the Salisbury Baptist Church, which is on Park Terrace in Brahma Lodge. We talk in the training sessions a bit about the role of the volunteer and boundaries and things like that. We also talk about refugees in a global context. You know, there are 65 million displaced people in the world, and 22 million of them are refugees. And so talking about the issues that they face, and we also talk about Australia's humanitarian program, our response to refugees and asylum seekers. Then in the second session, we look more around cultural awareness. So how can we interact in a better way with people from different cultures? And we also do a mini simulation experience to try and give what I call heart knowledge. Like, we can get lots of statistics and so on, but this really tries to get you to understand a little bit about what it might feel like to be a refugee and therefore be able to empathise a little bit more with people. So that's their main sessions.
Yeah, I can imagine that in these sessions that you deliver, you see a bit of a light go on with some people.
Oh, totally. And as I said, people that are coming along to these sessions obviously are already a bit pro-refugee, because they wouldn't be at the training session otherwise. But even so, a lot of people go, I never thought about that before. Or, yeah, the way that the media portrays this, I really see that now, what you're saying, that, you know, how we don't get the true picture on things. You know, where we live in Australia, we have such safety and we're such a peaceful overall country that it's really hard for us sometimes to be able to relate to people from refugee backgrounds and to just to understand what's happening in the rest of the world. Because, you know, often in the news it will be, I don't know, something about a footballer on the front page or cat stuck in tree or something like that. The stuff about the rest of the world happens to be on sort of page 13 or stuff like that. So you do see people have that aha moment. The other thing that I think the big aha moment is that, you know, we often see refugees and asylum seekers and we might look at them and we think, oh, they seem quite shy, they don't speak English very well, they're probably not that educated. And then you actually unpack that a little bit and you think, well, you find out they don't actually speak English that well, but they do speak five other languages. They could have been a university lecturer or a journalist, but even to be a farmer in those countries as well, you know, they've got to be extraordinary people. So I think it just helps us to look beyond the cover and to really see how extraordinary these people are and what a great contribution they will actually ultimately make to our country.
that's such an interesting point that you raise about the shyness and not speaking English, and people jump to those conclusions that, oh, they must not be very well educated or something. But I think I'd be feeling pretty quiet and reserved if my, you know, language skills from a particular region weren't, you know, I wasn't confident in them.
That's right. And I had that experience firsthand when I was living in Cambodia, and my wife picked up Khmer language quicker than I did. So whenever we'd go out, I'd be sort of going like, wow, I got 60% of that, I think, this time. And she'd be going, yeah, well, there were only two words that I didn't understand, and they were this and this. So they ended up talking more with my wife, and I felt a bit invisible after a while because she was always being able to respond more quickly than me. With some of the people that come from refugee and asylum seeker background, particularly the men, I think, they've had such a loss of identity and self-esteem. And so for them to be able to have a friend that they can share that with, but also then just by practicing English, their confidence level comes up again, and that we try and connect them with volunteer opportunities as well, and then that hopefully can lead to employment for them as well, because a lot of them are used to being the breadwinner, and they come to a place and their children end up learning English more quickly than they do, and so they have to ask them for advice, and the tables are turned quite quickly. And so we're really trying to help them to be able to move forward for them as well.
If anyone's listening and they're thinking, I'd really love to do the training and this is something that I'm interested in, how can they get involved? And also, what are the prerequisites for being a volunteer?
Great question. So they can get involved by contacting me at Baptist Care. So you can just look on the Baptist Care website. That's probably the easiest way to get the contact numbers. They'll send it through. And then in terms of prerequisites, you need to be 22 years of age or older. You need to be either a permanent resident or a citizen of Australia. And you need to be able to have at least 6 hours per month for at least 6 months availability, and to be able to come along to the training sessions. Once we've had a bit of an interview with you, then you'll also need to get child safe employment screening check and to do child safe environments training. But Baptist Care pays for that and organises that for volunteers.
Brian Hughes, coordinator of the volunteer programs at Baptist Care SA, speaking with Small Changes' Lisa Burns. If you're keen to get involved or would like more information, you can call 8118 5228 or email volunteer@baptistcaresa.org, or you can also head to the Get Involved page of the Baptist Care website at baptistcaresa.org.au.